Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation, so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
My earliest memories of prayer was my grandmother, who went to be with the Lord in 2009, and the last words that she uttered on the phone with my uncle was, "Oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus." Literally the last words that she had on earth before having a massive heart attack and dying. Here's the interesting thing about that. That "Oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus" was not strange to us because she constantly lived at "Oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus."
Wow. Come on.
I remember early memories of her in the room wailing before the Lord in prayer. And I find myself used to going down the hallway and I would just sit by her door, because I just wanted to hear it. And I wanted to know the family's business, because she talked about that too in her prayer. But the thing that struck me more about her prayer life was that it wasn't just cold things that she was quoting, but I knew that it was somebody that she knew.
Ooh.
Yeah. Y'all, there's so much in the Bible. Bearing fruit. Loving your neighbor. Loving your enemy, sharing the gospel, the Great Commission, the Great Commandment. But the Lord shared some with me in my private time. He said, "I want nothing from you that is divorced from love."
Wow, yeah, come on, Dad.
You can know a bunch of stuff.
Come on, bro.
You can do a bunch of stuff. But if you have love, it is tingling brass and noise.
Yeah.
When the prophet Amos came to speak the message of the Lord, here's the interesting thing about Amos. They thought they were okay. He came with a word that says, "Stop the noise of your celebration because your heart is far from it." And we live in a Western society that believes and loves intellect only.
Right.
And our heart is far from the Lord. We've left our first love and don't even know that we left.
Wow. Wow. That's the word.
It's so interesting when I'm around believers and I'm around unbelievers, and we look no more satisfied than the unbeliever look. There should be something different about us because there is someone different in us.
Come on, Dad.
My prayer for the church, our prayer for the church, is that New Creation not just be a place where we're just statues and doing things that are religious and ritual, but that there is a fire that burns in the belly of each individual in this room, no matter how old or young you are. That there is a living, active, present relationship with the Lord. Where when you talk about the Lord, you can barely talk about him because your emotions are just overrun with how beautiful he is to you.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've seen it all. See, you don't hear my kind of testimony that often. I've been around the church for 40 years. I've seen the revivals, and then they dissipate. I've seen the new denominations, and they dissipate. I've seen the new worship songs. This one is popular today, and then a new one comes tomorrow. But the thing that we have to face every single day is Jesus the one satisfying our soul? Yeah, and if he is not, who is? Because something is.
Wow. Yeah. Come on.
What I learned in psychology class is that you don't have to actually make yourself hungry. Your body will tell yourself that you are hungry. And so in the words of Snickers, hungry, why wait?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oftentimes we find ourselves running to other things that just don't satisfy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And if you're anything like me, I'm like, what's wrong with you, bro? Yeah. You know this don't satisfy. And yet I keep running and keep running to it because I find out that I don't like to be dependent.
Come on, wow. Come on.
I don't like to be needy.
That's right.
When the very essence of the kingdom is blessed of the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
Yeah.
I also understand that the enemy would try to lie to us and make us feel like God doesn't want us satisfied.
Yeah, yeah.
And many of us think that we're just supposed to suffer, hang on to the back of the truck, and then this airplane called heaven will come and grab us.
Wow.
But Jesus has more for us in this life because it's him.
Yeah.
He said, this is eternal life, that you know me. That's not a place to go. That's a person to dwell with now.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
That's great.
Before sin entered this world, we were walking in the cool of the day with God.
Yeah.
We were fully satisfied. We didn't even know what dissatisfaction was.
Right.
We had no envy, no strife. There was not a bad word spoken before sin. And in Genesis, in the new Jerusalem, in the new heaven and new earth, we will be fully satisfied.
Right.
No more pain.
Yeah.
No more grief. No more loss. No more sin. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Corinthians reminds us that we will have glorified bodies. Our bodies won't even know decay. You know how we wake up with these aches and pains? Can you imagine a day where that is no more? We will be fully satisfied. No distractions, no Netflix, no Disney, no any of that to take our affection and attention, because we will be focused on the one that's on the throne.
Amen.
Here's the dilemma today.
Come on.
We live in broken bodies that are prone to distraction. That are prone to sin, that is prone to wonder. And the question that I have for each individual in this room, no matter you are 3 or 49 or 99, are you satisfied in the deepest parts of your soul in Christ?
Wow, yeah.
What satisfies you at the end of the day? My favorite person in the Bible, outside of Jesus, because Jesus is by far, like way, my favorite person that ever lived. Second to him, but is way low, is my mama. I love y'all, but it's my mama. I identify with David. He was young, and he had this affection for the Lord. Can I say something to the students and the young people? There's not a statute of limitation on age when you can start pursuing the Lord Jesus.
Right. Come on.
He can encounter your very person right now. I fell in love with the Lord. I was maybe 6 or 7. And I knew that he was real. And the things that we find ourselves, young people, longing for, older people, can we testify? It never satisfies. We find ourselves chasing things. Chasing the praise of man. Chasing affirmation. Will somebody see me?
Right.
Can I tell you that the Lord not only sees you, he made you. Wow. You were made in his image. That's your identity. That's the purpose. You were made for him.
Yeah.
To revere him. To respect him. To love him. To be fulfilled by him. To trust him. And that is not for a person that's 40 and 50. That is for us all in this room.
Yeah.
What satisfies you? You got to answer that question yourself. When you're lonely, who do you run to? I would love to say that I ran to the Lord every single time I was lonely. I did not.
Right.
Amen. I ran to social media at times. Let me make a post, because I know if I say these things, that'll get at least 100 likes, mm-hmm. and then I can feel like 100 people like me. But do you know if people can like your post and not like you?
Right. Mm-hmm. Come on.
They can heart it and not love you. Mm-hmm. But there is a friend that sits closer than a brother.
Yeah.
That would never leave us.
Amen.
Nor forsake us.
Right.
So our question this morning is, will we allow Jesus to satisfy us?
Come on.
The question for you, students, kids, single people, married people. Will you allow Jesus, who from the beginning of the scriptures, our triune God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, has been pursuing his people as we've been saying no thank you.
Right.
Wow.
My question for us in this room is, will you stop running and say yes to the Lord Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
David, a man after God's own heart. What a title.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a perfect man. If anybody in this room struggling with perfection, David literally killed a man to take his wife.
Yep.
In our hood, we would say David was ratchet. But he had a righteousness because of his faith in Yahweh.
Yeah.
David was serving this dude, Saul. David believed in God enough that he threw a little pebble. And I'm going to mess up some people's theology because we give David so much credit. A pebble ain't finna kill no giant. But a pebble that got the power of God on it can slay a giant.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So God killed Goliath through what David threw. And then there were some women that started singing a song. Saul killed this many, David killed this many. And the Bible said that Saul had a jealous eye on David. He deemed David to be a fugitive. And so David is now on the run from Saul. And this ain't going to be the last time David is going to be on the run, because he's going to be running from his son at some point. So now, and we got to set this up for us to hear this, David is now in the wilderness. He is not sitting on a throne seat. He is not sitting in a comfortable house. He is sitting and running in a wilderness that was very desert, which means there was not much hydration or vegetation. And the interesting thing about this text that we're going to see is that David was in the wilderness, but the wilderness was not in David. David was in the desert, but his heart was bubbling over in praise and in thanksgiving. My challenge to us, because what we're going to see in this text, that man is like, I ain't telling y'all nothing. This is one of the few songs that don't have imperatives. Where he's not saying, you need to do this. And so I'm not doing that this morning because it ain't in the text. But what I am going to do, I'm going to do like a great chef. Because if you've ever had a meal prepared by a chef and they begin to describe the menu, you can tell what they like, because they're going to say, yeah, and I poached this in butter. And I like did this and I did that and I did this. He's telling you, I want you to order the lobster, but I'm going to describe the menu. So David says, I'm going to describe the lover of my soul.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you decide. Verse 1. Mm. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly, some translations say early, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. David was not just doing a standard greeting. David was actually putting something in the atmosphere that I feel that we need to do in the Western church. Because pagans were boasting about their gods. They were saying, Asherah, you are our God. They were saying, Baal, you are our God. Molech, you are our God. Every region in that time had their own specific idols. David opened this text by saying, Elohim, you are my God. The Yahweh God, you are my God. Make no fuss about it. You have my allegiance, and you're not just my God abstractly, but I use the word my, which is a personal pronoun, which means I have relationship with you.
Mm-hmm. Right,
right. Oh God, you are my God.
Yeah.
In a world that trusts in so many other things. Y'all, I learned of something watching a TV show. I'm like, what is that? It's a new form of meditation. People putting stones on folks, holding stuff over folks. I'm like, y'all, saints. Like, what's good, though? It's a new workshop. We trying to make folks levitate. If you just fall on your knees and declare Jesus as Lord, he will satisfy you greater than the richest fees. And you can save money because salvation is a free gift.
Wow. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. He said, oh God, you are my God. Then he said, early, eagerly, earnestly, with everything I have, I seek you. Have you ever lost your keys?
Yeah.
You can lose your keys and you can forget your own child. The focus that you have when you lose your keys, that's what that word is saying. He's saying that I'm like doves. I don't have peripheral vision. I'm eagerly seeking after you because you are exclusively who and what I am looking for. We can play with each other, y'all. We can come in and be churchy with each other. But I know someone that knows our hearts. He's the everyone heart knower, in the words of Pastor Recap. He sees everything. David was attending to sheep. And the prophet, the man of God, was like, there's a person in your lineage that's going to be king. He was outside. He said, none of these folks is. Because he put his good-looking, older sons in the lineup. He said, do you have anybody else? He was like, well, I got this son that's out there. And he literally said, this is the one. And the scripture ended with, man looks at the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart.
Yeah.
We can fool each other in this room, but we cannot fool the Lord.
Yeah.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Because he sees the internalness of our hearts. That's haunting and that's holy news. The fact that he can see our hearts and he allows us access into his presence.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wow. Yeah.
Ooh.
My Lord.
The fact that he knows everything about us and he still says, I desire you. From that, it should birth something inside of us to say, you know what? If you love me like that, I'm going to seek you like this. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. David was aware of his circumstances. And he said, more than I need a cup of water, I need the water of life.
Wow. Yeah.
He wasn't aloof to his physical needs.
Yeah.
See, that's a lot of people have these crazy misconceptions about God, that he's asking you to ignore the situations around you. He is not asking you to be ignorant. He is saying he wants you to be faithful to know that he is better than anything else, though.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
That he is the, in some words, the irreducible minimum to life. He said, yeah, I need water. But there is something that my soul needs. Can I ask a question? How's your soul, y'all?
Yeah.
I was convicted. Somebody stole my Amazon package from my house. My God. Let me close this real quick. Somebody stole my Amazon package, and I was Inspector Gadget. Because we finna find them. I'm finna go find them. We better figure that out. And it was the whole day. I'm like, you got footage? Our apartment got camera footage. I need it. Where is everybody? Because you finna give me my package. Then I find out the next day, Amazon has this bootleg thing where they check in the package, but then they deliver it the next day, so nobody ain't steal my stuff. The Lord allowed me to go through all of that mental torment, and in his faithful way, he said, it's very interesting how much you do to look after your possessions.
Wow.
But what about your soul?
Ooh. Wow. My God.
Do we run to protect our soul like that? To give our souls what it needs?
Wow.
We spend millions of dollars as a country on security systems. But is your soul secure?
Ooh.
What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his what?
Soul.
How's your soul? David cared about his soul.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my soul thirsts for you. My soul needs you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Verse 2, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. David was aware that he was displaced from his place of worship that he's so accustomed, which gave him the burden of his heart that we're even seeing in this text. But what David was also saying is that the holy place by faith is not just a building, but it's anywhere the believer is. So no matter if you're in the wilderness or you in a temple, you can access the presence of God. And he believed that by faith. He didn't even have the assurance that we have in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that literally the Holy Spirit himself has made his home inside of us. So that no matter what season we find ourselves in, no matter where we find ourselves in, we can access his power and his glory because he chose to live in us.
Wow.
If I was in my church at home, we would be acting a complete fool. I think sometimes our consciousness is so carnal that we forget the benefits of Christ.
Yeah.
I have looked upon you in the holy place. He was remembering his history. Now, we all in this room, if we're all been alive in 2000, we actually have a kind of familiar thing with this because we were all stripped from the ability to gather.
Yeah.
COVID-19. And we didn't know what to do. Isn't that convicting? Some of us lost our minds. What is prayer? What is anything? What is singing? And what this text is showing us is that, yes, the temple, the sanctuary, absolutely. I was glad when they said it to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We should value our time here together and at home. Our closets and our bedrooms are sanctuaries where we can behold the presence of God outside of this room. You don't need your pastor present.
Right.
Because you got the overseer and the great shepherd inside of you.
Yeah. Right. That's good.
His very spirit lives inside of you.
Yeah.
I was talking to a young man about prayer. I said, let me tell you something about prayer. Prayer is not normal. Prayer is not cold. It says, our Father who art in heaven. So what that tells me is that when I talk to the Lord, I am entering into another different dimension and sacred space.
Right.
I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. And here's my verse, because your steadfast love. Somebody say steadfast love.
Steadfast love.
We got to say that again because this is my favorite word in the Bible. Steadfast love.
Steadfast love
is better than life. My lips will praise you. That steadfast love is my favorite word in the Bible. It's hesed. It is his covenantal love.
Yeah.
Wow. It is the assurance that he will never let you go, even when you let him go and try to run away from him. Right. It was his covenant of love that kept the Bible from being 3 pages long.
Right.
Thank you, Jesus.
The fact that we are still here. It's his covenantal love.
Yes.
How can we be sure in the covenantal love of Jesus? Because he sent Jesus.
Amen.
The sacrifice of our Savior on the cross is the reason that we can literally say his steadfast love is better than life. His steadfast love. Can I encourage us in the room?
Yeah.
If your relationship is dependent upon your consistency, it's not going to be well for you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
The anchor of our faith is in the steadfast love of God and the fact that he does not change his mind. Because I don't know about you, Demetrius has changed his mind quite a few times.
Yeah.
But it's the love of God that is better than life. Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. Is it better than life? On paper, can we be candid for a little bit?
Let's go.
I'm a 40-year-old black single man living in an apartment in a land where I don't know nobody but y'all. On paper, do you hear me, singles? On paper, America and the world would say, ooh. But when you have the steadfast love of the Lord, and when your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life,
yes, Lord.
Come on.
You can say, what a waste, but God says, welcome.
Thank you, Lord.
And if the love of God is not enough, nobody else's love will ever be enough. If the commitment that Jesus has made to you is not the satisfaction of your soul, nobody else's commitment on an hour will ever be enough for you.
Right. Preach.
I am satisfied in him.
Yeah.
We just learned last week, we're content in him. We're not complaining, we're complying.
Yeah.
Man, the world needs a satisfied church.
Yeah.
He said, your steadfast love is better than life.
Better.
He said, it's better than life itself. If Jesus does not love me, my existence means nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he says this, my lips will praise you though. Mm. How often do you find yourself in praise? Mm. Can I say, if praise is a struggle for you, maybe you haven't fully grasped the steadfast love of the Lord.
Because
I'm going to just be candid.
Come on.
I can tell what people love by what they talk about. And if his steadfast love is bubbling over in us, we should not be able to contain praise.
Right.
Especially if he says it's better than life, though. So I will bless you, verse 4, as long as I live in your name, I will lift up my hands. That word bless is one of us is a word for praise, barak, which literally means to kneel down.
Wow.
Like, Lord, I will kneel down before you. That's a posture of humility. As long as I live. Can I ask y'all a question? If y'all are reading with me, has he asked God for anything yet? I didn't hear y'all.
No.
Okay.
Don't he have needs?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can literally walk around and we can say, what would you need in the wilderness? What would you need in the desert? Did he ask for any of that? What did he do? He declared who Yahweh was to him. In a situation where he could have been like, Yahweh, why aren't you being this for me?
Wow.
Right.
Right.
Can I ask us a question, though? Is our prayer time more barking orders at him?
Wow.
Or do we spend more time ministering to him? Telling to him who he already know he is, but you need to remember that he's that.
Yep. Right.
David could have chosen any kind of things to say, but he chose to let his soul erupt in praise. He said, I'll bless you as long as I live in your name. That word name talks about the character. Because of your character, I will lift up my hands. Let me go ahead and help my friends of different persuasions. Lifting your hands, shouting is not charismatic, it's biblical.
Amen.
Say that one more time for the Presbyterian Church. Lifting our hands, clapping to the Lord, shouting, it is not a charismatic Pentecostal thing. It is a biblical thing.
Amen.
That's cool.
God has a way he wants us to respond to him. We don't get to do what we want to do, just like we fight for people to love us in our love language. In your name, every time I think about his name, my hands should go up. Mm-hmm. In the words of the rapper, and they stay there. And they stay there. I just turn up on that thing. Hey. So every time I think about his name, my hands should go up. And stay there.
Yeah.
And they should stay as long as his name is good. Last time I checked, his name ain't ever not gonna be good. So my hands should always find themselves up, and my mouth should always find itself shouting, because his goodness is immutable, which means it will not change any day.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
When my mom passed away, I can't read the text about the wilderness and you think I haven't had any. That Thursday, January the 28th, 2021, you remember days that change your life.
Yeah, you do.
I was literally in my closet, the place I pray, which is so God's sovereignty. And when I got the call that my mom died, I was like, nah, that didn't happen. Hung up. Y'all have a good day. Don't call my phone with that stuff no more. And as soon as the reality set in, oof. I didn't even have tears, though, because it just didn't make sense. But something came out of my soul, because in that closet is where I spent time with God, though.
Yeah.
So when I walk in that closet, I'm reminded about him, and I'm looking at my shoes that I love. I love him more than my shoes. But the first thing that came out of my mouth was, God, you can never wrong me. And I got in my car and went to Montgomery. David was running from an enemy. And the thing that came out of his mouth was that your loyal covenant love to me is still true, even though I'm on the run. God isn't asking us to be oblivious, saints. But he is saying that his steadfast love is better than life.
That's right.
And so as long as we live, as long as we have breath in our body, we will lift our hands and we will lift his name.
Yeah.
Then he goes on to make a declaration of his satisfaction. In verse 5, my soul, the inner parts of me, will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. And here we go again. And my mouth will praise you with what? Joyful lips.
Yeah.
I'm noticing a theme, and we didn't even plan this. Philippians, Paul wrote from a prison.
Yeah.
And it's the letter that talk about joy and celebration more than any other letter in the epistles.
Yeah.
Psalm 63, David wrote from a wilderness. And he's talking about praise and joy more than anything. Can I convict the Western American church?
Yeah.
Our praise cannot be contingent upon our circumstances, but it has to be rooted in who he is.
Yeah.
Because who he is does not change, and your situation will.
Right.
We can learn from the persecuted church, because if you ever been over there, they worship and praise like nobody else's business, and we know that they are suffering.
Yeah.
Why? Because their praise is founded and rooted on the right thing. That's a man named Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
And it's not rooted on their circumstances. I am convicted. And at times I'm like a spoiled baby. Oh, because you did that, I'm withholding my praise. I didn't like that. And the fact that he don't strike me dead on that instant is his steadfast covenantal love. Do I have any confessing complainers? I'm one. I'm the worst, y'all. And then I'll make my complaining righteous.
Right. Right.
Well, you said. Well, you said this. But I'm convicted, y'all. We said last year, this year's going to be different for us.
Yeah.
We're going to remember the steadfast love of the Lord. We're going to remember that we're going to be satisfied as with fat and rich food. This is literally telling us that knowing God, it fills our cup to the overflow. When he is talking about satisfaction, he ain't talking about you ate a cracker and you're no longer hungry. He is saying the best Thanksgiving meal you had when your belly has expanded, I'm timing that by 30. That's how full you are with me. And if your family can cook like my family can cook, I can't breathe at the end of Thanksgiving.
Right.
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 My God, today I just thought about that dressing and macaroni and cheese. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And he is saying, I satisfy you more than that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
The greatest meal you've ever had. He satisfies you infinitely and beyond more.
Thank you, Jesus.
Can our faith in our Lord Jesus and his satisfacting ability, can it stir our affections again?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Or have we become so cold and we just say, you know what? I'm going to resign to believing some cold facts about him, but I'm not going to experience his satisfaction. I'm going to tell you that there is more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is more.
Thank you, Lord.
You can never reach the end of depth in your relationship with the Lord. A marriage will end, whether death or the second coming of Jesus.
Yep.
But your relationship with the Lord Jesus never ends. It gets better.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, you're so good. Thank you, Jesus.
My mouth will praise you with joyful lips.
Yeah.
Those who are satisfied, they look a certain way and they talk a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask us another question. I want all these questions to haunt us when we're home. Are you actually satisfied in Jesus?
Wow.
Come on.
Like, for real, though. Is he enough for you? Like, in the deepest parts of your soul, I'm not in this moment asking you if you like Jesus.
Yeah.
I have heard atheists say, I think he cool. God is dope. Great. When we stand before him, did he know you though? That's the conviction.
Yeah.
Does he know us?
Right.
Are we building our history with him? David had a history with the Lord. From a young kid. He said, when I remember you upon my bed and I meditate on you in the watches of the night. This is showing us David's secret life before the Lord in Matthew 6. Jesus said, when you pray, shut your door.
Mm-hmm.
Your father who's in secret is there. And if you let it stay in secret, he'll reward it openly. Nobody was around David when he was declaring his love to the Lord. Oftentimes, we want to be seen by people as holy.
Ooh. Wow.
Man's opinion changes about you like the wind.
Yeah.
The same people that said crucify him, they was also crying Hosanna.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Their opinion about Jesus was so flaky. In John 6, when he was like, all right, you want to get to know me? I'm the bread of life. I'm telling you that I am what you need. They said, nah, we good.
Yep.
And most of them left. He looked back at his disciples and said, are y'all going to go too? And my homie Peter said, to whom? Not where, but to whom shall I go?
Yeah.
You alone have the words of
life. Yeah.
Bible readers. He has the words of
life.
Now, didn't we just say his steadfast love is better than
life?
He is the only satisfaction. When I remember you upon my bed, when I meditate, that's Psalm 1 language. When I meditate on you in the watches of the night, Pastor Recap said, you linger where you love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I meditate on you in the watches of the night, the Lord showed me something to encourage someone in this room. Night is not just the time of day, but it's also the season of life.
Yeah.
When you find yourself in a dark night of your soul, when your soul just don't feel right.
Yeah.
That's a part of the Christian experience.
Yep.
I apologize if you grew up thinking that the moment you give your life to Jesus, that you float on a magic carpet, that your food is automatically prepared when you wake up. Every day you wake up, you're like, this is the day that the Lord has made. And your smile never leaves so much so that you look weird. And that there's never suffering. I apologize. To anybody watching this, I apologize if that was the theology that you were given.
Right.
But my Lord said, in this world, you will have trouble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Y'all, I feel the presence of God in this room. But take heart, because I've overcome the world.
Yeah.
Can I encourage your soul?
Mm-hmm.
That you can have an encounter with God in the wilderness. The reason we have revelation, he was sent on an island to die, and he had a revelation, though.
Ooh.
Your season of life does not dictate if you can have an encounter with the Lord.
That's
as
right.
a matter of fact,
That's
the
right.
wilderness makes you more sensitive to the fact that yeah. God is with you.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Our church, I'm talking about the Big C Church. We have to grow up.
Yeah.
We have to mature.
Mm-hmm.
The steadfast love of the Lord is better than life.
Yeah.
And so there's nothing that can happen in your life that will literally take his love. It said nothing can separate you from the love of God.
That's right.
I meditate on you in the watches of night. Can I ask another question? Y'all gonna hate my questions.
Mm-hmm.
What do you meditate on at night? And I'm not just talking about the time of day. In 2020, when I lost my brother, eulogized my cousin's kids. I ain't talking about years apart, months apart. This world went through racial tension and turmoil, and I was serving a predominantly white church, leading a congregation through COVID. I'm just in June of 2020, though. Had a very tumultuous church thing.
Yeah.
Friendships ended. And then months later, my mother catches COVID in the hospital for 2 weeks and passes away.
Mm.
That's like an 11-month span. What was I meditating on in the watches of night? The Lord sent me to Job.
Mm.
He sent me to Lamentations.
Yeah.
He sent me to Ecclesiastes. He sent me to the Psalms.
Mm.
And it was the word of God
yeah.
and the presence of God.
Yeah.
That Psalm 23 shepherded me through that season. Can I ask Christians a question? When you're in a season of adversity, do you run to the scriptures or do you run to things that never will satisfy you?
Right, yeah.
Do you run only to people that will keep you in your depression?
Wow.
Or do you run to people that will say you can get out of this pit?
Yeah.
I ran to this text because I needed to see. I said, God, I don't know where you at and what you're doing. I need to see something. Yeah. And when I looked at Job's life, I was like, okay, this feels very familiar. I had a comfort that can only come from the Lord Jesus. David took that comfort in verse 7 and said, for you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. Do y'all see that joy word again?
Yeah.
Notice he said in the text, the language, you have been my help, which means you didn't just start being my help in the wilderness. Yeah. You were my help before the wilderness. Can I just say something to us? When we pursue the Lord consistently, we don't have to go look for him when we don't actually have time to look for him.
Yeah.
One of my friends said, we fast when we don't have time to fast. Because we are a very red button society. We ignore symptoms in our body until we pass out. We ignore our spiritual condition until a pastor cheats on their spouse.
Ooh.
Wow.
When we should be walking in a history with the Lord.
Yeah.
Woo! Every day we're living with a spiritual edge. We're not living carnally. Aren't you sick of yourself? I am.
Yeah.
We're not living carnally. But we're able to know that the Spirit is present and real, and he's permeating in our lives. Even when we are in horrible seasons, we can have the history when we find ourselves in the wilderness that you have been my help already, though.
Yeah.
Wow.
And in the shadow of your wings, the protection. The scriptures talk about God as being like a mother bird hovering, protecting. If you've ever seen a video when somebody trying to get to the egg of a mother bird, you finna get it.
Yeah.
Let me tell y'all about my mama. My mama can punch through a bulletproof window. I seen it. If you mess with her child. She can pick up a car. Don't y'all mess with these mamas.
Yeah.
And think about the beautiful image of our God, that he covers us and protects us under the shadow of his wings. Psalm 91.
Yeah.
And then here we go again. I will sing for joy. Verse 8. My soul, the inner parts of me, clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. That word cling is literally the word glue.
Wow.
My soul is glued to you. Mm. Is that your language of your heart? Like, my soul don't even want to let you go.
Yeah.
The image that came in my head with this text, one of the strongest grips in the entire world is a little baby.
Yep.
There's this video where this little baby snatched that food from that mama, and she tried to get it back, and you ain't getting that back. I don't know what muscles in those babies' hands that make them, you can't get the grip from them. That's how our souls should cling to the Lord.
Yeah.
Wow.
That we're like Jacob. We're not going to let go until you bless our souls.
Yeah. Right.
And in Christ, we don't have to beg for a blessing because we've been given every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus already.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my soul clings to you.
Yeah.
In the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. Your right hand upholds me. Mm-hmm. Verses 9 through 11. Again, he was not aloof to the situations. He's like, now, all right, I done poured out all of that joyful dependence, secret communion, satisfaction, my esteem of you. Now, folks chasing me, though. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. David was a warrior. He wasn't no punk. That should convict us. He actually could protect himself. If you read the scriptures, he literally had multiple times to kill Saul, his greatest enemy. But notice in this text, that his confidence was not in his warrior ability, but in the one who fights for him, which is Yahweh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have enemies. We have an adversary that wants to do us harm. But I have a God that defends me. Let me tell you how prophetic this was, though. I just saw this the other day. He literally said, those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They should be given over to the power of the sword. They should be a portion for jackals. His enemy was killed by a sword. When you find yourself in worship, the Lord begins to prophetically put stuff in your belly and in your mouth that you don't even know what you're saying. He said, you're going to take care of my enemies because I find myself adoring you, worshiping you. When they opened their mouths and shouted, the Lord tore down the wall. Can I encourage us in this room? Don't let anything take your devotion and your praise. Yeah. Don't let anyone, any enemy, any distraction separate you from the love of God.
Yeah.
May we have confidence in God. David then says, but the king shall rejoice in God, and all who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. There is a liar, Satan, who wants to lie to every one of us in this room that you cannot be satisfied in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to keep lies in your head that you need more money, that you need a new job, that you need all these different things to be satisfied. Here is the proof of his lie. Just last month, we celebrated the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. We celebrated that Christ kept his promise and came to us, the ultimate sign of intimacy. No other God has that claim.
Mm-hmm.
He came to be with us. Woo! He lived a perfect life, fully dependent on the Father.
Yeah.
He literally said, I'm only going to do what I see my Father do.
Yeah.
He prayed day and night. If Jesus had a prayer life, who do you think you are not to have a prayer life?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But they say, who are me? He taught people of the kingdom, and people wanted to stone him. He got away because it wasn't time yet. He healed the sick. He raised Lazarus. He healed the blind man. He affirmed the lady that was caught in adultery. He washed the feet of his disciples who would betray him and run away. He humbled himself to be captured. Because guess what? He is a mighty warrior. He said, be very clear. Y'all can stop all of this commotion. I'm willingly giving myself over for this to happen. Because
yeah.
What he was saying his whole time, and the disciples never got it or understood. He said, I am here to die for the sins of the world. He was captured, taunted, flogged, beaten, spat on, mocked. Nails through his hand, through his feet. Intimacy is not cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It costs someone.
Ooh.
Yeah. The reason that you can say, oh God, you are my God, is because he said, my God, why have you forsaken me on the cross for you and for me? The reason we can be satisfied in him is because he satisfied the requirements. Woo! There was a payment that was needed for our sins. I can be satisfied in him because he satisfied it. He took his last breath. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not even what they're doing. Into your hands I commit my spirit. He took his last breath and he died. Immediately, the veil was torn. He was put in a tomb. Friday. Saturday. Oh, he actually dead. The disciples, let's go back and just do the thing that we've been doing. They forgot that he said in 3 days, I will raise. And early that third day, they went to go look for him. And they say, why are you looking for the why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus bodily resurrected from the grave.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah.
And if that wasn't enough, he then reappeared. He showed himself to multiple people. Pastor Ike preached about it on the vision message. He walking alongside people that followed him and didn't recognize him. But when the new covenant meal happened and the bread was broken and the juice was poured, their eyes were open. My prayer is that our eyes will be open to see the resurrected Jesus.
Yeah.
The one in whom we can be satisfied in.
Wow.
And he didn't even stop there. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's coming back.
Yeah.
Amen.
We don't hear that a lot. Jesus is coming back.
Yeah.
Amen.
Jesus is coming back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My question is, will you be found in him?
Wow.
Yeah.
The resurrected one that satisfies us greater than the richest feast. Would you be found in him? The one whose steadfast love is better than life. Would you be found in him? And would you be satisfied? Because we had an enemy called sin and death, and he defeated it.
Yeah, amen.
And when he returns, that'll be the last, final, ultimate blow.
Yeah.
And the head of Satan will be crushed and destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And us who belong to him will have glorified bodies that don't even know sin and dissatisfaction.
Yeah. Mm.
And we will be fully satisfied.
Yeah.
With people of every nation,
come on,
tribe and tongue, declaring not just, oh God, you are my God, but holy, holy, holy,
oh,
is the Lord God Almighty.
Yes.
You are worthy to receive honor and glory.
Yes.